Welcome to another edition of El Paso Primetime. I'm your host, Dennis Wu, sitting in for the rest of the band, Louise Sainz, Florence Schwein, and Cheryl Gehring. They're all working on projects for late spring, early summer, and we'll share those topics sometime later on, starting at the end of May. One of the things that came across our desks, though, lately is an article in the February edition of City Beat magazine that had to do with a forgotten dream of a veterans memorial. With us this afternoon on El Paso Primetime is Pete Flores, a Korean War veteran, and also the chairman of this new organization trying to revive this. Welcome, Pete, to El Paso Primetime.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate your efforts in helping us, and I am determined. I've been determined for about 2 years now when I took over the 501c3, and hopefully this time we can get something done.
What happened to this project in a nutshell? This is a project that was supposed to have come to fruition some 20 years ago.
I would say in 1985 or 86, Dan Haggerty had an idea of the memorial. And he submitted a design to the architectural firm of Ed McCormick, and they loved the idea. And consequently, Ed McCormick Architects designed the building. The building is designed on a five-star point, like a Texas five-point star, mm-hmm. and each star represents a war, First World War, Second World War, Korean, Vietnam, and then the present conflict. The unfortunate thing is that after so many years, a lot of the veterans organizations, either they didn't come eye to eye or they weren't unable to reach a consensus as to the plans and location, and it just basically disappeared.
Now, this was originally supposed to be out in northeast El Paso.
That is right, and right in the intersection of Diana and Patriot Highway. You know, the land was already allocated for the memorial. But unfortunately, it took so long for these veterans organizations to come to terms, so to speak, that the Flags Across America took over the location, and we're left without a site.
So now it's in search of a new site, hopefully out maybe along the Loop 375?
Well, you know, luckily for us, and I think I say that with hopefully a lot of luck,
yeah.
Community College has 272 acres out there in the intersection of 375 and the Liberty Road, which is a 601 spare, right in that corner where they're building the new Bowman Hospital. Right behind that or next to it is where the Community College is going to build another campus. They've already been approved for the 72 acres. In their additional 50 acres for expansion, that's where we want, and we submitted a request for 2 acres in that location because, as I understand, it's going to be one of the largest educational complexes in El Paso. Not only community college, but other colleges are going to locate there.
That's a smart place to go, and it would be a proper place for such a memorial.
Oh, it would be an ideal place because we're talking about a building here. We're not talking about a marble slab with a bunch of names.
Right.
We're talking about a 2.5-story building that will probably cost about $2 million to build.
Mm-hmm.
This will have it'll not only have exhibit rooms for all the world wars. Every organization from Vietnam, Korea, and everything will have their own location for their own memorabilia. And it'll have educational classrooms for the histories of the wars. For all the kids in our new generation, they don't know too much about Second World War and even First World War.
Right.
Even the Korean War, you know, it's the forgotten war, so to speak.
And sadly enough, not only is the Korean War going away in terms of knowledge with our generation, but little by little, the Vietnam conflict is also starting to take by the wayside. And people forget, too, that we've also been in a number of other conflicts as well. Even with our current conflicts with Iraq and Afghanistan, there was one before that. And we had some support help in the Falklands. We did a lot of stuff, Grenada.
Yeah.
And yet our kids are losing touch with that.
Oh, definitely. All the I've talked to the kids in the schools, and they don't really remember Korean War. I'm a Korean War veteran, so I kind of feel left out because you mentioned, and I've attended a number of meetings in veterans organizations, and they mentioned Second World War. We're losing about, 1,000 members a day, and then they talk about the present conflict, but they miss the Korean War. And this memorial will show the history of every war, and I think it's a tremendous thing for El Paso. Dan Haggerty had a good idea.
It's a great idea, I think, from the standpoint of history, from the standpoint of something special for El Paso, a tourist attraction, to be sure, and also a lasting memorial for every veteran living and who paid the ultimate price for keeping this land free.
Indeed. And, you know, there's, as I understand my research, there's over 80,000 veterans in the what we call the surrounding communities. And we do have a number of small memorials for the Vietnam and the Korean and a bunch of others, but these are small marble plaques with engraved names on them.
Right.
We are talking here about a veterans memorial and museum, something that will show the history of all the wars, and in fact, it's going to be the largest one in the state of Texas.
See, and that's something that we got to look at from several standpoints, including the fact that once built, it's also going to provide some jobs.
Indeed. And right now what we're trying to do is to, we have what we called, or I've organized a Friends of the Memorial. And this will help me raise a few funds to promote the memorial. Now, all this supporting effort from organizations, big organizations, corporations, businesses, will go into a separate account for the construction of the memorial. Now, there was one little fault here that that I'm very concerned with, is that if community college gives me the land, mm-hmm. if they approve the 2 acres, if I don't do anything within 2 years, they want their land back. This was one of the stipulations that we had during our conversation. It hasn't been approved yet,
okay.
but that's one of the so-called requirements if they do grant us that 2 acres.
So if they do grant you the 2 acres, then at the moment that you sign the contract, then the clock is ticking in order to have it done.
We need to raise $2 million or at least break ground within 2 years and let them know, okay, we've got the so much funding and... But, you know, one of the things that's awful, and it's people don't seem to realize, once we acquire the site, wherever it might be,
mm-hmm.
could be almost anywhere in El Paso, but once we acquire the site, then we can apply for grants, the state of Texas, we can apply for corporate sponsorships, we can apply for a lot of other things that we can't do right now, simply because every time I contact a corporation, this is where it's going to be built.
Right.
That's the first thing they ask. So consequently, once we have that site secured, then we can really go into a campaign. For the moment, we need everybody's help.
Is it fair to ask when you think the Board of Trustees with the community college would vote on this?
Well, I have talked to the new president, Serreta, William Serreta. And he assures me that they're still negotiating with the Secretary of the Army and the Interior and all that other stuff. And even though they've already acquired their acres that they want, they want an additional 50 acres for so-called expansion throughout the years.
Okay.
And that's where we would get the 2 acres. And unfortunately, we don't have a time frame for that. I wish we did.
Right.
I wish you could tell me, you know, 30 days from now, we'll give you the okay and... So I can start making preparations for that.
Right.
But it's not secured yet.
Mm. Okay. After listening to this, and this will be up on our website on ktep.org under El Paso Primetime, people will ask where they can contact you if you have a website.
We are working on a website right now. However, they can contact me personally. And my number is 309-3000, a number easy to remember. 309-3000. I can send him more information. I can send him a pamphlet of a promotional pamphlet that we have worked on.
Right.
We are working on a website right now, and we have a lot of information that they might be interested in on a step-by-step of how the project is going to materialize. So they can call me at any time. 309-3000.
Pete Flores is our guest this afternoon on El Paso Primetime, and we're talking about the proposed El Paso Veterans Memorial and Museum, hopefully to be put out at Loop 375 and Spur 601 in Far East El Paso, in a huge complex that the El Paso Community College owns alongside of the William Beaumont Army Hospital, which will be probably the largest in the country, if not in the state. But one thing I have to ask you, Pete, with all of the veterans associations all over the area, So we have a large listening audience, and my question to you is this. With all of the veterans associations and the organizations that are around, why is it that none of them seem to want to come together as a concerted effort to have this done?
You know, that's an interesting question because I ponder that myself. I've been on television about 3 or 4 times already. I've been on radio a couple of times. I have sent out pamphlets to a lot of the posts, if you like, veterans posts, and I have yet to really receive a full interest in the project. It's unusual because there's 80,000 veterans here. There's a number of organizations, the Veterans Post, if you like, American Legion and everything else, and they should all pitch in for the common good. They should all come in and say, heck yeah, this is a hell of a project for not only the Vietnam, not only Korea, not only the Second World War, even the First World War. It's for the good of everybody. And it will be one of the largest educational centers in all our war histories here in El Paso. And like you say, it could be a tourist attraction. It could be an attraction from all the entire area of the country. There's several. In fact, just recently, they finished the McAllen Memorial, which is only a circular of flags and a little post in the center of all these flags around it. It took them 12 years to finish that little circle of flags. I've got 2 years to finish this project.
Right.
I'm interested in everybody jumping into the bandwagon. Call me, and we'll. I have a 7-minute video that the community college prepared for me, which is a very interesting video. I'll be glad to come over and show it to you. I'll be glad to come over and address whatever group, because we need to start this project now. And one of the reasons we need to start this project, as you can see there, we're running out of time.
Yep. And one of the things to reiterate here is the fact that Commissioner Dan Haggerty, a U.S. Marine, was the one who initially started this whole idea, the concept of having a memorial museum here in El Paso. And in your brochure, there is something that, to be sure, needs to be brought up once again, and that's the fact that there are people in bondage still, POWs and MIAs, and they can't be forgotten either, and that's what this memorial would also help raise awareness of.
That is right. That is right. As a matter of fact, the memorial is designed with 6 water fountains in the front entrance, like a pathway to the front entrance. They would represent 6 of the El Paso men still either in bondage or missing from the Vietnam War and the Korean War. So there's a lot of history involved that we want to project into the memorial and certainly a museum. And another thing that I would like to mention is that we have facilities to store whatever memorabilia that somebody might have that is willing to donate to the museum.
Mm-hmm.
We can store this, and 2 years from now, we'll display it accordingly. And hopefully, every veteran organization, the Korean Association, the Vietnam Association, I understand there's 2 or 3 chapters of that, can jump right in and say, okay, we'll take care of our own section. We'll put all our history in that section. How many square foot do we need? I'll give him the square footage.
Mm-hmm.
All they have to do is call me, and we'll discuss details at any time.
That's really important. That's really important to not only store, but to also restore and to show the memorabilia from all of these skirmishes, wars, conflicts, everything that we've been involved in over the last 250 years or so, because education is the key. If our kids don't know what this is all about and are trying to learn history by way of a video game, they're not getting it.
And can you imagine if we have a place where they can come in and actually see videos of the war effort, videos of the actual... right now I have installed 54 posters that represent all the campaigns, all the theaters in the Second World War. It's an amazing story in every poster. We're going to display those also. But if you, and now with the new technology, you see a video of these things, of this history, it's amazing.
Yeah.
You don't get that out of a play video and what the kids are using nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to tell you, and be straight up with you, that there are communities around us, smaller communities, who embrace the fact that they have veterans in their midst and create memorials and museums in order to teach future generations what went on and to try to avoid making those same mistakes. Deming, for instance, Deming turned their armory into a museum right smack dab in the middle of town. It's a wonderful little museum. It's a great little place to go. I donated a lot of my dad's memorabilia because, frankly, no one here in town wanted it. No one at Fort Bliss, no one at White Sands, no one at Holloman. And he had a lot of stuff from the wars, and so I gave them up to him. And quite frankly, those folks in Deming not only welcomed it, but immediately put it on display.
Well, can you, I don't know if you've visited Socorro. Socorro is a small community in the east of El Paso.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they have their own museum. They have memorabilia from all the members of those families that lived in the Lower Valley. They are collecting now memorabilia from all over. Here's a small town of, 10,000 people or less,
mm-hmm.
and they have their own memorial, and it's a building. It's not a plaque on the wall. It's not a marble slab outside in a park.
Yeah.
This is a memorial that are being used to show memorabilia from World War II, Vietnam, and Korea, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a small town, yet they are accomplishing that. Why can't we accomplish this with, I don't know, I understand there's about 32 veterans organizations here in El Paso. With 32 veterans organizations and everyone pitching in a little bit, we can accomplish this in 2 years and build one of the largest memorials in the state of Texas.
That also would help you out in terms of granting and funding, not only through the government, but for all of the organizations that are veterans organizations. You now open yourselves up to the ability to write your own grants for your own association on top of supporting the Veterans Memorial and Museum. I don't get why people don't get that.
It's unfortunate, but I don't know if they're getting it. I have two grant writers right now that are really interested in helping out. One of them was a prisoner of war in Korea. He was a prisoner for 3 years, and he's a grant writer right now, and he's willing to help me all the way. There's another gentleman in the school system that's also interested in helping me,
mm-hmm.
and I understand by Joe Pickett and other representatives that there's funding for this sort of thing in the state of Texas. It's just a matter of securing the site, applying for this funding, and getting a lot of these corporate accounts that can help us build this building.
Which brings us right back to the conversation earlier in this program about hoping that the Community College's Board of Trustees sits down and looks hard at this project and says, we want to do this and give you the land.
Well, let me assure you that they're all on my side. I have talked to them individually. Collectively, I have talked to them on a number of occasions, and every one of them is for the project. All we're waiting for now is for the community college president to say, we are securing this land, put it on the agenda, say okay for 2 acres. 2 acres is basically nothing as compared to the hundreds of acres that are in that area that are going to be used for expansion of the colleges and all that. So 2 acres is more than enough. Originally, I wanted 5 acres. I was getting a little bit greedy simply because I wanted to put some memorial parks around the museum. But they tell me I couldn't do that simply because they're using the same landscaping. Mm-hmm. They're using the same parking areas or common areas. So 2 acres is fine.
Okay.
All they have to do is say, yes, sir, and we'll go for it.
It's a wonderful design, and anyone who contacts you through 309-3000 would wind up with a brochure like what I have sitting in front of me. And unfortunately, it's radio, so I can't share much about this other than the design of the building is like a pentagon. It's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous when you look at it. And we're talking about a couple of stories here, right?
Yes, indeed.
When you look at it from the Pentagon standpoint, I assume this is the star points north?
Yes.
So the north point is World War I's display. And then when you go to the right of that, that's World War II. Then it comes down to the Gulf War display as you walk into the building. To the right, it's the Gulf War's display. To the left is the Vietnam display. And then off to the west is a Korean display. But it's all centrally located from within the commons of this building on the first floor. And the parking, it looks like parking, you're offering parking for about 40 to 50 vehicles plus disabled.
Right, exactly. And if anybody is interested, I'll be delighted to come over and show him a 7-minute video that Community College worked for us, and it really shows exactly what we intend to do, He shows how we proposed to do the project, and certainly the beauty of the building itself.
One thing that I think our listeners should know is that this is a nonpartisan project. Has nothing to do with political affiliation, has nothing to do with anything other than honoring the men and women who served this country through all of what we've been through.
You are right on that. And there's so many veterans here that need to be honored, really. Mm-hmm. As a Korean War veteran myself, I belong to certain organizations. We try to help the homeless. But there's so many organizations that can pitch in and help us on this particular project for the common good of all the veterans. Not necessarily just veterans in El Paso, but like you say, in the surrounding communities. If Socorro, or a small town, could do something like that, why can't we do it with all these organizations that we have?
I don't understand that. I don't get that. With all of the veterans organizations that I've come into contact with over the last 14, 15 years or so, I've never understood why none of them have come together as a united group. It doesn't make sense. You served the country. You served our country. You continue to serve our country by teaching the young what went on then.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And it's not Army versus Navy versus Marine versus Coast Guard versus Air Force. It's not that. We're all branches of the United States military. I don't get why they're all separate.
It's unfortunate, but in many cases that I have reviewed, that is particularly the case. The veterans want their own memorial. The Koreans want their own memorial. The Second World War survivors want their own memorial, but that's not the case. Dan Haggerty was a Marine.
Mm-hmm.
He served in Vietnam. He designed one of the nicest projects. The McCormick engineering firm and architectural firm designed a beautiful building, and I'll be delighted. We have a big model of the building. We have a model that's at 3 by 4.5 feet.
Yeah.
The model itself, I can be delighted to show it to them. But to do this project, and again, I'm going to mention, we all have to pitch in together.
Yes, we do.
Otherwise, it won't be done.
Pete, I want you to repeat your phone number one more time.
They can call me at any time, and my number, area code 915-309-3000. And it's a number to remember, 309-3000. If they want to request some information, I'll be delighted to send them some information. If they want me to address their group, I'll be delighted to come over, show them a 7-minute video, talk about the memorial, but we need their help.
And listeners need to be reminded that the El Paso Veterans Memorial and Museum is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. So raising funds is also a tax deduction for your 2013 taxes. So something to consider right about now.
We have divided the project in two different areas. Friends of the Memorial, where they can send in any amount of money, and this money will be used for promotional purposes to print materials that will be sent out to all the corporations. And we also will have a fund specifically to build the building. These two funds are separate. The small monies that are coming in or will be coming in from small organizations, we'll use that as promotional purposes. But the big bucks will come in from grants and corporations and things of that nature. So we do need their help in that respect.
Well, Pete, thank you so much for coming in and sharing all of this information about this memorial and museum. The El Paso Veterans and Memorial Museum right now is more than a dream, but not yet a reality, as we are all of us in the community waiting on whether or not the El Paso Community College President William Serrata will sign off on the project and say, here's your 2 acres of land. But in the meantime, if you need information from Pete, feel free to call him at 309-3000. Pete, Mikasa Tsukasa, when you find out one way or the other what's happening, please come back to the radio station. Let's talk about the project.
I'd be delighted to, and I really appreciate your help. And if anything that the radio station or anybody else can help us with, I'll be delighted to say thank you.
And thank you to you, too. Our conversation with Pete Flores will be up under the El Paso Primetime section of KTEP.org as an archive, where you can access it and other programs like Good to Grow on Film, State of the Arts, Perspectives, and focus on campus as well. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Check out our website, ktep.org. You can also click on the calendar section to find out what's happening this weekend. And while you're there, may we ask you to possibly contribute to the radio station's programming by hitting the support button on ktep.org. Thanks to our friends from the AARP, here's Movies for Grown-Ups.
A family goes mental in a good way. I'm Bill Newcott, and this is AARP's Movies for Grown-Ups.
The hills are alive with the sound of music, with songs.
Oh, no.
Carl, mom's gone off again.
Gone off where?
Off her head.
Australian mom Shirley Muchmore is losing touch with reality in the new comedy, Mental. And so she stands in her suburban backyard, imagining she's Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music. Her irresponsible husband, played by Without a Trace star Anthony LaPaglia, has her committed. To care for their five daughters, he hires literally the first person he meets on the street, a woman named Shaz, who turns out to be exactly what this dysfunctional family needs. It's a strangely heartwarming story, and it's all true, says the film's writer and director, P.J. Cooper.
I plead guilty. I take full responsibility for the family depicted in Mental. In fact, I grew up with them. It's a very autobiographical film. Almost everything that you see on screen actually happened. My dad was, you know, not exactly Father of the Year. He was an absentee dad. And my mum was a very highly strung woman and was in and out of institutions. And my dad, at the end of his rope, picked up a hitchhiker. He trusted her because she had a dog.
She's staying in your room.
Where will I sleep?
You share with Jane.
I am Jane.
I don't care about that anymore. Tell your problems to What's Her Name.
What's Her Name is Shaz, played to quirky perfection by Toni Collette.
Shaz, we got mouths to clog.
This takes gas. What's the point of getting to the top anyway?
Not being at the bottom.
So I came home from school one day, and there was this strange woman sitting on a couch, a hunting knife sticking out of her boot. She was sort of a mixture of Ellen DeGeneres and Steve Irwin. She showed up, moved into our house. For me, she's one of the first people who actually believed in me.
Mental is in theaters now, and you can tweet with Shaz herself, at ShazIsMental. I'm Bill Newcott.
The producer would like to take the time to thank our friends from the AARP and specifically from the nationally syndicated program Primetime for the use of this week's episode of Movies for Grown-Ups with Bill Newcott. El Paso Primetime is a production of KTEP, all rights reserved 2013 by the University of Texas at El Paso, KTEP, and the UT Board of Regents. We certainly hope you have a wonderful weekend. Up next is Louis Signs and Perspectives. Thanks for listening. Join us again next Saturday at 1 for another edition of El Paso Primetime. We'll be right back.